Nexus Church is all about cultivating an authentic Christian community where old and young alike journey with Jesus and are transformed by the gospel. May we be challenged and inspired by the power of His Word.
Tonight, in the lead up now, to start the lead up to Easter, we're starting a series we're just calling a simplicity of lost and found. Lost and found. And we're going to sit in Luke 15, where Jesus speaks about, in parables, about what this is in God's heart, the reason He came. Now, the invitation here, because we are going to go through this week and next week, parables that you no doubt have heard. And you've heard when you were 4 years old, if you were part of church. You've heard when you were 10 years old. You've heard in youth. And then you've heard at church, in adult church. And it's like these are parables that we can be so familiar with that we just go, oh yeah, I know that. But the invitation as we start this. It is to come to this with the prayer in your heart, God, help me to see these as if I am seeing them for the first time. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. But that is my hope and that is my prayer, that we would just sort of, okay, intentionally, consciously park our assumptions and what we think we know and come back and go, God, help me see these as if I'm seeing them for the first time. Let my eyes see for the first time what you want me to see. Let my heart open up with joy in these things that you are revealing through your word, because they've spoken for 2,000 years. There's depths there we have not covered. And for each of you, the Spirit will illuminate that. And so that is my prayer and that is my hope. Now, Liz and I haven't told her I'm going to use this illustration, so this is going to be fun. Liz and I, we are in just a normal street. We're in a street that has 400 meter square block of land. It has, you're right near your neighbors. It's great. We've been there for 12 years. Every now and then, and Liz is a light sleeper, every now and then, there's these sounds that suddenly come from a neighbor. And they're sounds that have a lot of bass and a lot of music and a lot of voices, and it's a party going on. But it's going on at a time when we don't really want it. It's a time when, and we're not old fuddy-duddies, are we, Liz? I don't know where she's gone. I'm putting her in the bucket because she's a light sleeper. So this is why. We know there's a party going on across the street, and it's cool, it's fine, but we want to go to sleep, and it's like 10 o'clock at night. I'm sorry, that's my bedtime. That's if you're a late person, 10 o'clock, I want to go to sleep. Liz is not able to sleep. She's awake because this music's going, the bass is just coming through the house. It's like, come on, people, we don't mind being a part of a party if we're involved, but we don't want it if we don't want it. But the thing is, someone's celebration can be another's irritation. Unless you know why. Have you been there? Someone's celebration can be another's irritation. And this is where Jesus finds himself. He is having a party with people who the religious leaders don't really understand why he's having a party. And so his celebration is their irritation. And they come to him and they say this in chapter 15, verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law murmured, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told this parable. Don't go to familiar place, church. Listen with fresh eyes. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. And then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." Notice the personal language there. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. A side point, there's righteous people who do need to repent. Jesus makes a point there. Then he says this parable, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Scholars aren't sure what value that is, but a number would suggest that it's actually her life savings. And so it's valuable to her. She loses one. Doesn't she light, like it's logical, Jesus is saying. Isn't it logical? Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus' celebration is an irritation for the tax collector, for the religious leaders. The question is, or rather the point is, they don't get it. For them, they see a group. Jesus sees ones. For them, they stand at a distance and murmur, Jesus comes near. Just ponder that. The religious leaders see a group. They see tax collectors, this group of people that are deemed lowly in that society because they are ones who work for the oppressors of that community, be it Herod or the Romans. They're getting money from the Jewish and the Israelites, and they're giving it to the ones who are in control and governance of these people. But not only that, they're regarded as lowly because they rip people off. They take more than they're needing to for the government and they pocket it for themselves. And so they're not like tax collectors today. They're tax collectors back then and they were seen as lowly for those reasons. Why would you be with that group? Tax collectors over there. And then it puts in there, they actually say, why is he eating and welcoming sinners? Tax collectors and sinners. It's this general term. Scholars are not entirely sure the scope of it, but we get the sense. But I want to help us understand. In their mind, it's more likely about people who cannot fulfill the 600 laws that they've added to the Torah that Jesus gave. It's people who cannot fulfill the functions to enter the temple. It's people who maybe don't have the money to fulfill all those rules that they've made to enter the temple. It's people who've been excluded because, well, they can't because of this, that, or that, and yet they're looked down on and they classed as this general term sinners. Those tax collectors over there, that group, those ones that we see at a distance. And when you stand at a distance from people, what happens? Misunderstanding comes. You start to stereotype and live out of those lenses. It's them over there. But I'm taken by Jesus. Instead of seeing groups, he sees ones. He goes, there's 99 sheep and one goes missing. That means the shepherd knows and notices and values that one. It's the coin, it's 10 coins, and he notices one goes missing. He sees the ones. And he comes close. It's what we see in John 10. John 10, it's my favorite scripture, and I'm sorry I preach it so often, but I can't help but go by it. It's the man born blind from birth, and Jesus is walking along the road, and this man from birth would have had so many people who would walk past and just class him as one of those ones who's on the side begging, who's removed from society. They don't notice him, but it says Jesus saw him, and he drew close to him. And in that encounter, it changed that man's life. He began to see because he encountered Jesus. It's the woman who's in the crowd who has the issue of blood and she pushes through and touches Jesus. But in that moment, Jesus suddenly is aware and he sees in the crowd, the many, the group, he sees the one. And he draws close to her and she doesn't just receive the physical healing, but she receives his salvation. It's the ones that, like the man who comes with the friends, his friends come with him and he's on a mat and his friends see the crowd and they go, we just got to get him to Jesus. And they lower him through and Jesus sees him, the one, and comes to him. There's this contrast here. To stand at a distance and just go, oh, that's them over there. That's that group. But Jesus says, no, I see you. I see the one I see and I come near you. I come near you. And not only that, Jesus' main point here is that the only difference amongst people is that some are lost. The tax collectors are looking at a myriad of things that separates these people from these people. But Jesus says, no, I see, I come to. And he says, actually, the only thing that distinguishes and separates any person in humanity is there's some who are lost and there's some who have been found. That's the only distinguishing factor. Lost. Have you experienced that feeling of lost? Lost. You haven't got your bearings. Maybe you're disorientated. Maybe you've been somewhere where you haven't been before and you're using a map or Google Maps sends you on the wrong way and you go, where am I? That feeling of lost. That is the term that Jesus would use for humanity apart from him. He says his mission is to seek and save the lost. But when we consider that word, it can be a little offensive. So I like to think I've got my stuff together. I'm not lost in life. I'm not lost. Like, that could feel a little offensive. But the more I have pondered what Jesus is saying, the more I realize how beautiful and dignifying are his words. Because when you consider what lost mean, lost people are not unintelligent. Everyone gets lost at some point. Lost people are not, at its core, immoral. Most lost people that I know are in the middle of the moral bell curve, I would say. They're not immoral. Lost people are simply trying to find their way. They're not unintelligent. They're not immoral. And lost people they rarely want to be lost. There's the occasional person who just likes to wander off and get lost, and that's okay. But in general, rarely do lost people want to be lost. So it actually makes sense to me that Jesus would use this term to describe those who are trying to find their way in life, but yet to find his way. And when we actually consider our culture, I was pondering this week. What we actually do in our culture that we swim in is we give people a blank map to life. We actually say to people, here's the map to life. It's blank. Just follow your heart. Just make it up your own way. Just like work it out. Just go with the flow or just be true to you. Here's a blank map. But I wonder, and my suspicion, my suggestion is, that actually leads people to be completely lost. Here's a blank map, find your way, and we expect that that's going to lead to what their heart truly desires. I've just been pondering that and going, man, no wonder there is so much anxiety and fear in our world because everyone's told, make it up yourself, just follow your own way. And so it makes sense to me that Jesus would say, I've come to seek and save the lost, and that actually that is such beautiful words and speaks so well of humanity. And the only distinguishing factor is that some of us have been found. We have found the way of Jesus. And it changes everything. It changes everything. I feel like tonight as I was preparing, for some, there's two sides of this coin that I've spoken on so far. For some, it is to know that God actually sees you and he's come to you. For some, you resonate in life and go, I'm just trying to work it out. And this word lost, as I have described it, is not a negative word, but it just represents where you feel you're at. And the message tonight is this, just as Jesus was speaking to the religious leaders, but so the tax collectors and those who are classed as sinners would hear, he's saying, I see the one. I don't see you as this group that's labeled like this. I see you. And I come to you. And for some of you, that is the awareness of your heart needs by the word power of the Spirit. He's saying, I come and I'm seeking for you. You who find yourself in fear, I come to you. Know that my pastures, there is rest in that place for you and your heart, your soul. You who looks in the mirror and doesn't like what you see, he says, I come to you. I see you. I'm here for you. Let me show you how beautiful you are actually as part of my creation. You who have been told time and time again that you're not enough, he says, I come and I see you and I come for you and I'm here for you. Let me show you how much and how valuable you are to me, that you are worth so much that I would give up my life. Let me show you and let me lead you. And let me put value, show you what the true value of your life actually is. You who walk into a room, and I've been there before, and you wonder what everyone's thinking about you. Jesus says, I'm here for you. I come for you. I see you. Let me walk with you and reveal to you how much and how precious are my thoughts about you. Psalm 139. They outnumber the grains of the sand. Wherever you find yourself, for some tonight, Jesus is wanting you to get in your heart by the power of the Spirit. He sees you. He comes for you. And I know how basic that sounds, but you get that revelation. It changes everything. It changes everything. The other side of the coin is he invites us to be his eyes that see the one. That actually there's people in our world that actually the prayer to be prayed this week is, God, who's the one that you want me to walk with this week? This is something we do in our Japan trips. One of the biggest things of our focus is, God, as we are there over that week, who is the one or the one or two that you want us to see and to really sit with, be friends with, encourage, and connect with beyond the trip? It's been powerful. Every time we've done that, the ongoing relationships. And so maybe tonight, that is the invitation as we reflect on this, is who are the ones that God's placed in your life that he actually says, let's do this together. You can be my hands and feet, showing them that I am welcoming them into the kingdom. I am here and I see them and I'm here to minister to them and to show them what it is to be found. But importantly, something stands out for me as I've read through this. Because you note that Jesus says, heaven rejoices over every sinner. But he doesn't stop there. He doesn't say heaven rejoices over every sinner. He says heaven rejoices over every sinner that repents. Repents. You know, I think of the woman caught in adultery. She's caught by the religious leaders. If you're not aware of this story, she's caught by the religious leaders in the middle of adultery. We won't explain how they even got there. But they grab her. They bring her out into the square. They put her before Jesus because they're trying to ultimately use this lady to trap Jesus. They don't care about this lady. Again, the heart of a religious person. You don't care. You just want to make a point. But these people come before Jesus and this lady's there. And he goes through a process where he doesn't not fulfill the law, but he doesn't fulfill it in the way they think it should be. He still fulfills the law, and I won't go into that. But what he does in that moment is he leads them through a process where those religious leaders find they can't condemn this lady. And they're all gone. And then Jesus says, where are they that condemn you? Well, I will not condemn you either. It's not a free pardon, because he then says, now go and sin no more. A sinner who repents is what heaven rejoices over. You see, repentance for the religious leaders was action before heart. It was, you've got to fulfill these rules. You've got to meet these rules. That is repentance. That is turning. You've got to get your behavior right. You've got to get it all together. But when Jesus talks of repentance, it is one who receives his light and begins to follow him. It is the turning to follow him. And afterwards, we find we start to be made whole. It is not behavior, change first, and then come to Jesus. It's come to Jesus, and then we find our life starts to change. And so repentance is important. It's important for all of us. It's not Jesus just going, oh, they just got a free ride, just accept them. And I'm speaking of them as us. But it's actually an invitation, turn, just follow me, and you'll find that what your heart deeply longs for will be satisfied. Rethink what you've thought about God and about what it is to follow him, and just start to turn towards him. And that is Jesus' eyes, is repentance, and then start to follow. It's a turning of the heart, and then we find wholeness. And so what we see here is Jesus saying, you know what's going on in heaven? That needs to happen on earth. What happens in heaven to happen on earth. What happens in heaven? When one sinner repents, there's rejoicing. There's a party going on. There is celebration. The angels are rejoicing. What's going on in heaven is there is a spirit of welcome to all. Come, follow him, find the way of the kingdom. What's happening in heaven is that the love of God pervades all. And so what we see is Jesus, he's suddenly coming and he's having a party because people are coming to follow and find the life of the kingdom. Man, it's beautiful. He's having this whole thing, and I find it fascinating how the religious leaders, they say he's welcoming sinners. That word's key, the welcome of heaven. These people are experiencing the welcome of heaven in Jesus. They're eating. They're experiencing grace around a table. It's beautiful. And in Jesus, he's expressing the love of God. And it's because of this that the religious leaders actually, they just don't understand because they're out of tune with what's happening in heaven. And this is the invitation, and this is the broad point. As we, even these next couple weeks, would we have a prayer in our heart to say, God, help me to see what's happening in heaven and start to reflect that on earth? What he was actually saying to the religious leaders was, get in line with what is happening in heaven because that is what earth is meant to be. And Jesus is displaying that himself. He sees the ones, not the groups. He doesn't stand at a distance, but he draws close to those around him. He understands the plight of humanity and that experience of loss. And he says, let me come and find you. Be found by me. Let me be the map, not the blank map, but let me be the way that shapes that map for you and follow me. Let me give you the pattern for life to live. Follow me. I'm the map. I'm the way. This is what Jesus is saying. I'll get the team up. You know, imagine the impact of this on those listening. Imagine the impact of this. As Jesus is addressing the religious leaders, he's actually sharing the good news with those he's already eating with. Those who had been classed as sinners, those who were lost, those who were classed as tax collectors. Imagine the impact of hearing this. A message they had not heard before. That they were welcome into heaven, into his presence, into the kingdom of God, to a place where they thought they could not go because the religious leaders had made it way too hard. Those barriers down, you're welcome. The love of Jesus. But not the just free pass. But the invitation, once you've experienced the kindness of God through Jesus, to repent. Because that is what Romans says. It is his kindness that leads us to repentance. It's, in other words, when you experience that welcome of heaven, when you experience that shepherd that is Jesus who sees us and comes to us, when you experience his heart and God's love for your life, that kindness only leads you to go, man, I want to follow you. I am repenting. I'm following you. And as we take one step at a time, we find our life, the old is gone, the new comes bit by bit by bit. How beautiful is that picture? And for some, it is receiving that tonight and encountering that. And for others of us, it is about actually going, God, who are the ones you want me to share that with your Spirit's help? To share that welcome with this week. To share that love of God. To see the ones. There's two questions for tonight. One is a little bit sobering. Is there God, some of the religious leader in me? Do I have some of that in my heart? The other question is this. What would I be doing that would cause people to ask questions and give me an opportunity to tell stories like Jesus did of the lost parables? To tell stories of things that were lost and found. What would I be doing that would lead to that moment of being able to share like Jesus the stories of the lost and the found of our Father's heart in our world. So with that, I want us just to close our eyes and reflect. For some, this moment is about receiving the great beauty of His love, of His welcome, of our shepherd, the one who seeks and finds. And maybe you've been in that space where you are feeling a bit lost. He says, come to me. Draw near to me as I draw near to you. That's a word for some tonight. For some of us, it's the sober reflection. Is there some of the religious leader in me? Am I just seeing groups in my world? Am I just standing at a distance? Am I murmuring a little bit about the ones who frustrate me? My encouragement is, would you let the Holy Spirit soften your heart and see the ones? The ones that He's inviting you to share His welcome with. The ones He's inviting you to show His love to this week. And for all of us, it's the reflection also. What would I be doing this week that would cause an opportunity to share like Jesus the story of something that's been lost and now is found? The joy of that. The rejoicing of that. So just take a few moments to reflect on any of those that sit in your heart. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, would you remove any... help us to remove any of the religious leader spirit in our life. Would you help us to see the ones around us, to share your welcome with, to share your love to? Would we see opportunities to live in such a way, Lord God, that people would ask and we would have opportunity to share the stories of lost and found in our worlds, in our lives? And finally, I just want to give opportunity, if you've never said yes to Jesus, to the invitation to be found by Him, the opportunity to say yes to Jesus and say, you know what, I am repenting, which means I am turning my heart and my life towards you, Jesus, and I'm going to follow you. I realize now I don't have to have all my life together. I don't have to have all my act together. But the invitation is to start that journey through repentance, to turn and say, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. So if that's you and you would like to take that opportunity, or maybe you did have done that in the past, but you just know deep down in your heart you are far from Him and you want to take this opportunity to say yes to Jesus again, I want to give you that opportunity. So simply on the count of three, I just invite you, while eyes are closed and I can see, I want to pray for you just to put your hand up. If that's you, yes for the first time or yes again, on the count of three, just put your hand up. I'll see and we'll pray. One, two, three. Thank you. Awesome. Awesome. Man, tonight is the night to be found by Him. As you draw near to Him, He draws near to you. Anyone else would like to join? Just raise your hand. Yes for the first time or yes again. It's not glib to say, heaven rejoices right now over every sinner, every person, every lost person that repents and is found. And so heaven is rejoicing. And so, Lord, right now we pray for this young lady that has put her hand up. Lord, we thank you, Father, for her response of repentance, of turning her heart to you and following you. And Lord, you know exactly where she is right now. And I pray, Lord, as she is drawn near to you, would you reveal yourself? Would you draw near to her? Pour into her life your love. Pour into her life your spirit. Pour into her life your refreshing and your hope and your peace and all that she needs right now. That as she goes out, she would go knowing that you are with her. We bless her in the name of Jesus. Amen. Church, as this parable encourages, I'm going to invite you to stand. And right now, let's join and celebrate with heaven over that one decision that was made. Come on.
We hope this message encouraged or perhaps even challenged you in your Christian faith. Our pastors meet regularly with people to pray and support them, and we extend this invitation to you. Please let us know if we can contact you to offer support. Simply call the office or visit nexuschurch.com.au.